Central China concern. They have a wonderful ministry that I'm going to allow her to reveal to us. But can I ask Esther to come up and can I pray for you before you begin? Let's pray together for Esther and Erica. Holy Spirit, come down to us. Even as you have resided with us, and perhaps maybe to us being aware of your call, open our hearts to hear what you have to say to your servant Esther, and you give her joy in revealing your word. And pray all this beautiful name of Jesus, our Lord.
Thank you, Pastor Ted. Yes, so my name is Esther. I come here today to give you a challenge and an invitation. Okay, first let me get familiar with the remote control. I would like to challenge you of something the Bible said, that you will live your life with a mission and you will have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So the passage that I chose is from the New Testament, Philippians 2:5-11. Can you all see the screen? Can we all read together? Okay? Yeah, let's read together. In your relationship with one another,
have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, but taking the very nature of a servant, he made his human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, and at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God forever.
Have we ever really pondered on what Jesus has done for us? In this passage, he says, he, who in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. I like the song that we just sung this morning. We could not imagine how much Jesus has laid down, has cast aside, and become a man, become very limited as a man. There are different translations, right? In the Message, it says he had equal status with God. Just imagine, if you are God, how privileged you are. You can do anything you like in a split second. But Jesus didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status. Does he have advantage when he is God? Of course. All the advantage he has, right? But he doesn't cling or hold on, grasp to the advantage. No matter what. And the version we just read says, who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. So today, the challenge is, Jesus or Paul is asking us to have the same mindset of Jesus. What does that mean? I'm going to share this with you. I think it means that we should think about what kind of advantages we are having today. Maybe this can be a discussion question afterwards. Are we living in an advantage world? What God has given us to become our advantage. But this challenges us to say that you should not consider all these something to be used for your own advantage. Instead, what did Jesus do? He made himself nothing and take the nature of servant, made in human likeness. He lowered himself to the lowest form. And also, up to a point, what did he do? He died. He even gave up his life. He even died on the cross. Have you ever thought of being follower of Christ? You are having such a challenge. It's not an easy challenge. But this is what's said in the Bible. So today I want to show you as much as possible some real life examples of when followers of Christ are really living their lives with a mission. They're willing to let go of their advantage and use their advantage for someone who are in need. What would be the result? I have shared with you about the family story of ICC last year, but maybe you have forgotten, maybe some have not, so may I repeat a little bit. ICC International China Concern, although our work is indeed in China, but it started by a British Christian when he was only 19 years old, David Gott. He was living in England at that time. He became a Christian when he was 16. At 19, he worked at a bank, but he knew that his life should have a mission. So he joined Youth with a Mission and went to Hong Kong. And they provided a trip for him to go to Shanghai. He said that when his feet first stepped on China's soil, he told me he felt like home. And he knew that God called him to serve in China. He did not know, had no idea where, what God wanted him to do in China, but he took action. 19 years old, he applied and studied in Taiwan for 2 years for Mandarin, for Chinese. His Mandarin is more fluent than mine. He can read and write Chinese and know that the Chinese must be better than all of you. Yes. And during those 2 years of study, he had a chance to visit a Chinese government-run, state-run orphanage in China. He imagined when he went into that orphanage, he would see children playing and laughing, because even though they're orphans, children are children. If you feed them well, play with them, love them, they will laugh, they will play. But that's not what he found. What he found was absolute silence, with 99% of the children there are having disabilities or severe illness. And then he found that they are not real orphans. They have parents, but they were abandoned by their parents because there is no support system in China. So a lot of parents have no choice. They raise their kid up to a point they could not no longer raise their kid, and they have to abandon them. A lot of them died on the street by the river at the market where they were abandoned. Some of them got brought to the police station and later to the welfare center, but the cruel fact is the welfare center is like a dying place. 80% of the children who brought there will eventually die as well, because there is not enough resource put in there. The caretaker who is assigned to take care of the children don't have proper training, and they don't have enough of them. So David saw malnutrition babies without people feeding them, and children are dying. And he also sees toddler being tied on a toilet chair without pants, sitting there all day. Of course, David went crazy when he saw that. He cried out to the Lord, and that's when the Lord said to him, David, this is why I called you. I want you to make a difference for me. Guess what's the response of David? Do you think David said, sure, I've been waiting for this long. I want to know where you want to call me to serve in China. No, David refused. This is what happened to us, right? God, you must do something, okay? But not through me. I can't. Through somebody else. That's what David did. David rejected the calling for 10 months, he told me. He said, I'm not a therapist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. How can I make a difference? And I don't want to go back to that place, too depressing. But after 10 months, the Holy Spirit kept calling him and reminded him that, remember Joshua, remember Moses? When God called them to do great work, what did God say to Joshua? Do you know that Bible verse? Do not be afraid. I will be with you. Right? It's not you who are alone doing the mighty work. I'm just choosing you to work with me. So at the end, David agreed, but he still did not know what to do, how to make a difference. So what he did was he just shared with anybody he came across. Of course, those are all Caucasian Christians from Australia, from England. And those Christians have great response. They all said, what can we help? We never knew. So David said, I don't even know. Why don't we just go in there, you know, as much as we could, and just love the babies, have the children. So they took holidays, they bought airfare, so David started to bring in China team, short-term mission team, and they went to a place called Shanda in Hunan province. And the Lord opened up the director's heart, which is a hardcore Communist Party member, being the director of the Welfare Center. He left them going in and out every day. After they wake up in the hotel, they went to the orphanage and hold the babies, untie the bondage of the children. If there are therapists, they do therapy with the children. And they found that the children improved immediately. Smile came back to their face. And they have improvement with their emotion and their physical condition. They really encourage them. But they have to leave, right? They only be there for a short while. The good thing is there's another team waiting. After 2 weeks, another team came from Australia. Another team came from the States. So for a year and a half, David kept leading teams into the same orphanage. And then at the end, after a year and a half, guess what happened? The director, the Chinese government official, invited David, saying that, why don't I let you take over 100 kids from me, and you can take care of them in your way, because I see what you do is meaningful and great. So he started International Talent Conservatory in Hong Kong in 1993. It's been 21 years now, and God has been blessing us by seeing more and more followers of Christ like David. Receive the calling, willing to let go of their own benefit in their own country and go to China, learn Mandarin, eat spicy food, and bring their whole family there to serve. So right now, I'd like to show you a video. This video is capturing back the past 20 years. It has a very great hymn accompanying it. Truly, never alone. Jesus never left. I really like this song. I think this is the message that Jesus wants us to remember, that He will never let us walk alone. This is the face the government gave us when he first had us the 100 children, and we turned it into an oasis.
Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Perfect things. Never once, knowing never.
let me share with you a real life story. She is now 25 years old. He wrote his own story on our magazine. Our magazine are for the sponsored parents in China. So I read his own writing. He said that my name, he should mean successful career. There's no Chinese word enough. He said that my name was given by my father. So you can tell my father had high hopes for me, successful career. So when my father learned that I have disability, actually he has cerebral palsy. So affecting all his motion, his speaking, but not using mental ability. So his father fetched different jobs, worked more than one job, because they need to earn a lot of money to, in order to give treatment to the son. Because his father overworked, he got sick, and then later on the father died. So his should father died when he was very young. And he said that, I remember when I was 5 years old, my mother one day told me, hey, let's get you on the train, I'll go with you to Changsha, they live close by Changsha, and get you to see a doctor to heal you. So she was very excited, 5 years old, following his mother, went on the train, and then arriving at Changsha train station. He got caught up with all the flashing lights of the city, and he was watching and watching and watching for 2 hours. Then he realized his mother left him. Then he realized he would never see his mother again. He wrote himself, he said, I was living with a group of beggars for half a year. And then a good-hearted man brought me to the welfare center, 5 years old. And that was the time when ICC first started our work. So she was among the first group of children. And Jesus' love just got into his heart. I remember David also shared this. It is very difficult to co-work with the Chinese government in China as a Caucasian. So one day, David was very frustrated. He went into the welfare center, the Oasis House, looking at the sleeping baby. He was so tired. And then he felt a small hand laying on him, praying for him. That was maybe 6 years old, Li Shi. And when I read that testimony of David, I imagined it must be Li Shi seeing these long-term volunteers laying hands on the baby, praying for them all the time. That's why he caught it, he mimicked it. He knew that that is something that will work. So Li Shi laid hands on David. So Li Shi kept on writing his own story. He said after he finished his study, the IE, the local worker, encouraged him to get a job, saying that, you know, you are an able man, you should get a job, earn your own living. Encourage him to sell newspaper on the street. In China, they still rely on people walking on the street with a bag and selling newspaper for whoever come by. Li Shi rejected the idea. He said, no one in China would want to buy anything from an ugly man like me. Obviously, there are a lot of discrimination towards them. But the RD, the local worker, encouraged him, saying that, don't look down on yourself like that. Even if you can sell one newspaper a day, that is your achievement. So he took on the job, and now he had two jobs. He sell newspaper in the morning and then had a cleaning job in the afternoon. He made quite a bit of money. So another article praised him, saying that he has a good heart. Whenever the disaster, like earthquake strike, he would be the first one to donate a few hundred kwai. And then that led other workers feeling, you know, embarrassed, and then they all chipped in, they all contributed, because even Li Shi contributed to the disaster. Yeah. And the reason why I had dinner with him was because I heard our long-term volunteer, Justin from Australia, saying that Li Shi actually right now is a voluntary pastor of a family church in Changsha. He has his own interpreter. He would preach in the Sunday, because sometimes his speaking is very difficult to understand. He has his own interpreter. And he wants to go to seminary to get training. But there's no seminary in China who would take disabled people. So I said, oh, let me meet with him. Let me listen to his story to see if I can help him. So this is Li Shi. And I went with a co-worker from Hong Kong to have dinner with him. I never met him. He never met me. So Justin just arranged him to wait for me at our facility after he finished work at 6 o'clock. I went on a taxi to take him to somewhere to have dinner. In my imagination, I have psychology background. when I read a person experiencing all those hurts, all those experiences, I imagine someone with a lot of distrust in his heart and a lot of scars, psychological scars. But no, Li Shi is the most man with sunshine I can describe. He is a man with confidence. He's just like a dear brother that in Christ. So, yes, I really appreciate. He just, hey, hi, I know who you are. Of course, in Mandarin, right? So we brought him to this place. And funny, in China, some restaurants have a computer on the side where you eat. So sometimes when I cannot make out what he's saying, he types. So what he typed out two lines. I really remember. He typed, I once was a dead man. Jesus Christ raised me from the dead. And instead that David got asked, family church people to go to the orphanage and introduce Christ to them. So he really have a heart to serve the Lord. And I asked him, why do you want to go to seminary? He said, so that I can be better equipped to serve the Lord. That is not the end of the story. We visited where he lived, because he lived in an independent living home on a Sunday. Of course he wasn't there because he was at church, right? But then he came back with a young man beside him when we are about to leave. And he introduced to us that this is his cousin. I don't know who took this picture, but you saw question mark all on our faces, right? Cousin? How come you have a cousin? You are abandoned and you grew up in an orphanage, right? And you know what happened? He said that the family church actually helped him back with his original family. So he knew, he now is in contact with his own mother, and he has a sister, and this is his real blood cousin, willing to go to church with him. Isn't it a perfect story? A year after, I came with a group of pastors from Vancouver. I told those pastors Li Shi's story, and I asked, do you want to have dinner with Li Shi? They certainly want, right? So Justin asked Li Shi to come to our hotel to meet with us. He did not know who are coming to meet him. But once he saw me, he jumped up to me like a monkey. He recognized me. He was so happy. So I began to introduce each pastor to him. Four of the pastors do not know Mandarin, so I've been doing translation. So I introduce each of them and they shake hands. And when it comes to Joshua, who is my own pastor, Pastor Pat know him, he can speak Mandarin. So he directly introduced himself to Li Shi. He said, I am a pastor pastoring a church in Canada. And Li Shi understood, right? It's his own language. Li Shi was all excited and he replied back. He said, I am also a pastor of a church in China. You can tell he's so proud of what he can do to serve the Lord. So we had dinner with him. We went to a Brazilian buffet restaurant, lots of meat around the dinner table. You may recognize some familiar pastor faces there from Vancouver, like Joy Fellowship in Haywood. So we were just chit-chatting, and then one of the pastors needs to preach the Sunday when he come back here. So, and then we asked Li Shi, she said that yes, he does need to preach. So he said, what I'll preach on. And Pastor Brad Crossley from Office Baptist Church said, I will be preaching on a psalm. I really forgot which psalm is that. For example, I will be preaching on Psalm 86. It was at the dinner table, no Bible, no stuff. And Li Shi said, Psalm 86 is a very good psalm. And then he began to recite it. And Joshua quickly took out his cell phone and checked the psalm, right? And Joshua, Pastor Joshua said, he is really reciting it word by word. That's how familiar with God's word he sure is. Yeah, so God has been looking after all these forgotten children without a voice. Over 20 years, we hire and train local workers, care for the disabled orphans 24/7. And then we provide special education, therapy, and medical care as much as possible. Changsha has the most established center. Lighthouse is a building that we own, multi-purpose there, has the playground. I'm so sorry. It's too big. Okay, and then in Changsha, we developed group homes because Caucasian people are very emphasized on home setting, not in the Chinese culture. So when we have this idea, even Chinese board members disagree. They say, you don't understand Chinese culture. Chinese people, doesn't like to see these handicapped children living among them, living next door to them. But thank God that they insisted. And I went to the group homes. We have four, two for girls, two for boys. I saw that we educated the community. The people there in China just love them because they see how lovely they are, how adorable they are. And they are indeed. They smile and laugh more than we do, even though they have a lot of difficulties. And as I said, we renovated two units for just a handful of independent young people. There are not too many of them can be independent. And it's well planned because it's very close to the lighthouse. They can come to the lighthouse to have dinner or they can cook themselves. So no caretaker living with them. And she is one of the person who is living in this independent Canaan home. It's a therapeutic move for them as well. And then because in Changsha, lots of them become adults, so we provide vocational training. We took them on a bus, bring them to this center, so they can feel that they are valuable because they make things, they make beautiful things, greeting cards, jewelry, bake cakes. So they work 5 days a week, and then they get to rest in the weekend, just like us. However, we always have a center called Anxuan Yuan for the severely handicapped. There are about 20 of them there. So pray for the worker there because they don't get a sense of achievement because the children there are just deteriorating. They are severely disabled. So 2005, we started another project in the same province, Hunan province, that city called Hanyang. Hanyang let us hang on more children, 150. 2 years ago, we started group homes in Hanyang, just two group homes. The government already saw the difference they made for the children because they got to learn how to cook, they wash their own clothes, they can go out and buy their own food, just like a normal human being. So the government saw what happened at the group home. They were building a huge five-story building, thinking of letting us use maybe some floors. After they saw that, they changed their plan. They renovated the whole building into 20 small apartment units, so that in October, we can move every children into home setting in Hanyang. This is a great development. And we can take more children. So you may wonder, there are more than 150 abandoned children in Hanyang alone. But of the agreement, we can only take care of 150. And now, because of that building, we can take care of 28 more. But we need to raise more funds because it's a lifelong commitment. We take in one child, we have to take care of that child until he sees the Lord. So we have to hire more people. We have to raise more funds for that. So by faith, we're still asking God to provide so that we can take in more children under our care. A few years ago, there's another place started, Sanmenxia in Henan province. The director there begged us to help him because he sees what we did. He loved it. So this is a new turn because it's a joint venture. We asked him not to cap the children number. However many children you have, we take care of them all. And financially, half and half contribution. They agree. So this is a new turn for our ministry. Very exciting in Changsha, we started a community outreach project. We want to end abandonment. We want to support families with disabled children. This is very difficult. What we do is we provide counseling for the parents, parent support group. We teach parents how to do therapy at home. We raise funds for the children to do operation, to do surgery. Yes, this is a pioneer work. But our hope is in the next 20 years or one day, because of what we do, because of what God has intervened, every disabled child in China will be grown up in their own home, will have their own parents loving them, caring for them. This is our goal. So in ICC, you do see a lot of Jesus followers, no matter what color they are, what nationality they are. They come because God called them, because they obey to God, because they obey the word of the Bible. So they are from Australia, nurses, from construction background. You can never imagine how God can use people from different fields, IT fields. The children study in the local elementary school. Of course, their Mandarin are better than their parents, but their parents can speak the dialect as well. Yeah. So there's another Bible verse in the Bible. James 1:27. Shall we all read together? Religion that God, our Father, has set up as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep from being polluted by the world. Are we doing what God wants us to do? I'm sincerely inviting you. I said I come with a challenge and an invitation. I want to invite you to be a part of this. God has started this in the past 20 years. For some reason, God started by non-Chinese. Today, I think we should come up today with God and say that we want to stand with you. We want to continue to join in the effort. Let me share with you a last story. These two sisters, one from UK, one from Australia, they did not know each other before. They became good sisters when serving in ICC. They both have left ICC because they can move on. They don't need to be with us all the time. When one has left, when Liz has left, Claire still have to go back to Changsha, and she shared with us, she said, I'm so lonely. That was during the Chinese New Year time. All the stores are closed. She said, this is not my country. I have nothing to celebrate. I'm so lonely. My buddy has left. I don't know why I would still come back to this cold winter China. So missionaries do get alone, do get depressed. So we kept praying for her. And then afterwards, she shared with us a very touching story. She said, I know. I now know why God wanted me to be back, even though my buddy has gone. So I have to go back to a little bit of background. Remember that An Chen Yuan for severely handicapped children? When I was there, I took this picture. Can you imagine this little guy called Tian Jian? He was 13 years old at the time when I took the picture. He had a severe cerebral palsy. He could not walk nor talk and could only grow to 2 years old. So Liz was holding him, feeding him at the time when I took the picture. When I learned his story, I thought of how he go through the 13 years of life and what would happen afterwards, right? But I had to leave. So Claire shared that actually during the winter, Tian Jian developed lung infection, very serious disease, and they moved him to Butterfly House. Butterfly House is not ICC ministry, but it's started by a couple from United Kingdom. Their calling is to do palliative care for children in China. They started in another province, wasn't successful. They heard about us, so ICC, because we have so long relationship with the Chinese government, we kind of took them under our wing, so they got a flat in the government building, and they started this palliative care. So the welfare center would pull in babies and children whom they thought they would not make it to this Butterfly House. We went into the Butterfly House. Everyone part of so touched. They are Christian, of course, and they said that no, the Lord doesn't look at dying children and babies like how Chinese people look at them. And they share with us, they said that, do you know, in a custom of Chinese, a dying child is unlucky. So they would lock the child in a room and no one would go in. And they said that, of course, we don't do that. And also, these are abandoned orphans. So they look after them. They decorated the whole Butterfly House even more beautiful, more warm than BC Children's Hospital, truly. And they particularly hire Christian ladies from family church to care for these children. And let me tell you, one-third to half of the children who are being diagnosed as dying became well and come back to our ICC facilities. But at that time, Tian Jian was in Butterfly Home. So once Claire learned about that, she went into the Butterfly Home and to be with Tian Jian every day, morning till night. And after some days, we received this picture. This is just hours before Tian Jian went to see the Lord. Do you see his smile? This is what Claire did every day. We may not be able to save every life, but we can walk with them. We can tell them Jesus loves them. In the Bible it says, Jesus being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. What do we have today as an advantage? Are we clinging to all that we have for our own benefit, for our family benefit? That is not the will of God. God challenged us to have the same mindset of Jesus. Jesus made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and later on even died willing to die on the cross. And there are brothers and sisters who are so willing to lay down their life for wherever God leads them. And a beautiful picture comes out from that. Life being saved, life being transformed. And I believe through the work of ICC, the whole nation of China will one day be transformed. And that's the will of God. So what will happen afterwards? This is, you know, we have to read this too, because this is where the hope is from. Shall we all read together? Therefore, God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So now I'd like to let you hear some of the children who want to say thank you in advance, because I'm going to invite you to join in our fundraising effort, joining Wang Luoli.
So on behalf of Chan Chan and Biao Biao, I'd like to say thank you for making this book.
Thank you.
Oh, now have the Chan Chan for them.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Meet Mei Mei, she spent the first week of life in one of our incubators, and then she would say thank you if she could.
And now she's very happy and healthy.
Thank you!
Xiaoxiao.
Thank you!
May I ask you and you to help me to distribute the invite for every family? I know there's time enough for everyone here. This is for Walk the Wall. Walk the Wall started in 2007. David Gott had a dream, reminded him that the Great Wall of China is 6,000 kilometers long. So he figured if he can have 600 people in the world walking 10 kilometers fundraise for ICC, together we have finished walking the wall. That's why it's called Walk the Wall. So from 2007 up to now, we have over 30 cities in the whole world walking for ICC. Vancouver has the biggest walk, okay, and we raise the largest of funds. We do want you to get involved first by joining a fundraising walkathon. So on your flyers, that's our website, you go up there. I hope one of you will become a team leader of your church. So one of you will register as a team leader and provide a team name for all the others. So you click in, find Vancouver Walk, because there are 30-some walks there, and then join into your church team. Once you become a participant, you can make use of all our tools to send emails to everywhere else, ask people to sponsor you, ask people to go up on our website and check us out. And if you can, you can come on that day. It's like a carnival. We treat you breakfast, we treat you lunch, and we have live bands, but the most important thing is to walk. You can choose walk around the wall for 10 kilometers, actually 9, or you choose to walk a shorter walk, just 3 kilometers for children, from family. Yeah, so really hope that you all, your church, will start to partner with us by participating in Walk the Wall. Yes, so thank you very much for the time. And I'll pass the time to Pastor Ted to maybe lead some discussion.
We
need
some questions if we have
them,
or
yeah,
if there are any particular questions, that's for you to ask her now so that everyone knows the answer will be, or.
Right.
Otherwise, you can speak there afterwards, but if you have a question, why don't you hold up?
last year, we see, mentioned that they for the people in his life.
Oh, yes.
Their health.
Okay, so maybe some of them don't know. Actually, there are a lot of trials and tests happening on David's family. David has two sons. His wife is actually the mission pastor of Tan's church.
Oh, sorry!
They met at Regent College. His wife is from Ireland, he's from England. So they decided to start their family in Vancouver. They have two sons. Their younger son, Kieran, is also a special needs kid. His brain has maldevelopment. Yeah, so he's also going through what the child's parents are going through. And then in 2011, the end of 2011, when Kieran was not even 3, he was diagnosed to have brain cancer. So the 2012, when David had sabbatical leave, he was bringing his son in and out of the hospital with every treatment you can think of. And not even when the son was get checked how the treatment is going, the end, September of 2013, his wife was diagnosed with second stage breast cancer. So one after another. The good news is in November, when Kieran was checked, he is cancer free. So he can swallow. He wasn't able to swallow even because of the brain cancer. He could swallow and he could go back to school. So this little kid is cancer free. As for Linda got, she gone through all the treatment finally. Yeah, just months ago, she gone through all the treatment. So they had a family vacation. Yeah, but as adults, we don't know, right? Yeah, you have to wait for 5 years for the mission. Thank you, Ma.
Questions or?
Yes, yes, you may. You can go up on our website and you can click on to sponsor a kit. If you choose to sponsor monthly, it's $36 per month. Adding $1.37, it means you're contributing to the birthday fund. We encourage parents to send in birthday presents because it means some children will have lavish presents, some children won't. So we have birthday party for every children there. If you want to contribute your birthday present, you contribute $1 more. You can register everything online by going up on our website, www.chinaconcern.org. It's also, yeah, you can when you go up on rockthewall.org, you can easily go there. Or you can call our office and, you know, and ask us to register for you or go through the process.
May I only ask if anyone wants to be a team leader for your church or walk the walk? It all starts with the leader. Everything starts.